And Christ is going to appear in the clouds, and we're going to be called up, come up hither. Boy, I'm excited about that, aren't you? And one day we're going to see him with our very eyes, we that are saved, we that know Christ is our Savior. That's a perfect song for what I'm going to read to you right now. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I'm bringing a message today. Have you heard? Have you seen? Have you touched him? Have you heard? Have you seen? David just talked about how we're going to see him. And have you touched him? 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I want to thank the choir, Brother John, and all you that do special singing. Isn't the singing uplifting for your heart? And John, thank you for having a good singing program. Give him a little card yesterday. Told him I was really proud of him, doing a great job. Attaboy. Hey, thank you, Brother Jack. That's good. Sometimes it's good to have people in between. I just look at you boys. Boy, one of you boys, when you grew up, might be a preacher. Did you know that? I know, man. Can you believe that? Which one's the orneriest of you guys? Who's the most orneriest? You're the preacher. You're the upcoming preacher. Okay. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4. I'm glad you're here today. What a beautiful day. And Samuel Dales, happy birthday, both of you. And God bless you. Notice in verse 1 of 1 John. 1 John's in the back of your Bible. Chapter 1, verse 1. Notice what the Apostle John writes here. That which was from the beginning. Boy, like you're talking about Genesis 1:1 there. Which we have heard. Which we have seen. With our eyes. We've seen him with our eyes. Which we have looked upon. And our hands have handled the word of life. We saw him. We heard him. We've actually touched him with our hands. And it wasn't just a regular person. It was the word of life. It was God. Which came down in Jesus, form of a man. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And bear witness and shown you that eternal life. How many wants eternal life? It's only found one place. It's found in Jesus. He's saying to you, show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and manifest unto us that we have seen, verse 3, and heard. And declare. Boy, we need to start declaring from what we've seen. And we declare unto you that also you may have fellowship with us, that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now listen to me, I'm going to pray and we're going to give you a great message from this scripture here. Great joy is found when you see the word of life, when you talk and hear the word of life, when you embrace the word of life. That's when you embrace Christ, the Son of God, the eternal God of all. When you embrace him, you embrace the joy of the world, because only Christ can give you that joy. The world's joy only lasts for a moment. The joy of God is for eternity. Heavenly Father, what powerful words here in these first four verses. I think many times people read these and just don't grasp. I don't think none of us can grasp the depth of what you're trying to show us here in these first four verses here about Christ and how these disciples saw him and walked with him and talked with him, touched him. They embraced the literal word of life, the Son of God. Lord, I just pray that, I know you put this in my heart. Help me to do well for you today, I pray. Help me to be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we note what John the Apostle said in verse 1, he said, that which was from the beginning. See, when Jesus was here, He wasn't here for the first. He always was. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Jesus was God. I showed the church Wednesday over in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without anything was made that was made. Christ was the creator of the world because Christ was God incarnate. Christ was God in the flesh. Can anyone say amen? So he talks about this wonderful word of life from the beginning. This person who we have, he said, I've heard him. I've seen him with my own eyes. And I've even touched him. How many like to touch this Jesus? How many like to see him? How many like to hear him speak? Boy, when we get to heaven, we will. Amen? And this wonderful person that did all that, he's called the Word of Life. That was Jesus. That Word of Life is talking about Jesus. Wednesday, I shared with the people, there's really seven, but I gave you five. I know why God had me only give five. You didn't get out of here to almost 8:30 with the five. We'd have been going to 9 o'clock with the seven. So, I put it in your bulletin, but for the record, that capital WRD word, always referring to Christ, seven times in the Bible in five different verses. And I put it in your bulletin. I hope you look them up. But in John 1:1, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. John 1:1, the Word was with God. John 1:1, the Word was God. See, Jesus was God. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh. That's talking about Jesus. 1 John 1:1, our hands have handled of the Word of Life. Man, they actually got to touch God. That's exciting. And 1 John 5:7 says, there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And then lastly, it's found in number 7, it's found in Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. And so seven times in the scriptures, that capital W-R-D word is spoken of. Every time it's spoken of, it refers to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Apostle John boldly declared here in John 1:1 that he, as in the apostles, he said, hey, I want you to know something here. This wonderful Savior of ours, this Word that came from heaven, I heard Jesus speak. I literally heard his voice into my ears. I literally saw him with my own eyes. He said, I literally saw him, Brother Jack. I saw the Son of God. Man, I can't wait till we see him. Amen. The Bible says every eye will be upon him someday. And then he said, not only did I hear him speak and I saw him with my very eyes, but John says, we've actually touched him. We've actually, we apostles, our hands have touched the Word of Life. Look at that verse 1. And our hands have handled of the Word of Life. He's saying, man, we actually touched him. We actually touched God. Wow, that's exciting. Amen? And he said, the Apostle John realized how wonderful and how blessed he was that he got to hear Jesus speak, that he got to see Jesus do the many wonderful miracles that he did, but he actually saw Jesus in the flesh with his own very eyes, and he literally touched him with his very hands. Boy, David sang that song, We Shall See Jesus. That's what this is all talking about. How many are excited about seeing Jesus? What I'm trying to tell you, in this scripture here, the Apostle John was saying, man, I want you folks to know, I've actually seen him. I've actually heard him talk. I've actually touched him. He's real. If you don't think Jesus is real, you got another thing coming. He's real. He's real, real. Amen? And he knew he was blessed beyond measure. You know, sometimes I don't think we realize how blessed we are. We're blessed beyond measure. Trust me, we are. The Bible says, just stay there in 1 John, but the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Matthew 1:23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. By the way, Mary wasn't pregnant. She was with child. The abortion people want to call it pregnant. We aborted a pregnancy. No, when you abort a pregnancy, you just killed a baby. With child. The Bible always, not one time does the word say in the Bible say they're pregnant. Every time the Bible refers to children, she's with child. They're with child. Always refer. We had some folks come to our spaghetti dinner last night. And the man just did some work for us around our church here, cemented the door up and stuff. And his daughter or son. They had a young couple, and they had a little baby girl, just precious, 3 weeks old. I'm going to tell you, that wasn't the pregnancy that came out of her. That was a child that came out. I'm going to tell you right now, I held a precious baby in my arms up here today. She wasn't a pregnant. She was a child. And I'm glad that young lady had that child, because if she would have not had that child, she would have killed that baby. So I'm going to tell you, young people, don't worry. Don't be thinking about abortions. When you have an abortion, you're killing a child. You say, well, there was just substance in there. The Bible teaches in Psalms in 139, God says He knew us when we were in just substance, and He knew everything about us from the going to bed. And so, that's not my message, but that's a free coupon. I just threw that in free. How many like that free coupon? And so, but behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. So when Jesus was born, fellas, God came down to man. That when Emmanuel means God with us. So when Jesus was born, God came down to be with us. Can anyone say amen? And for Isaiah 7:14 prophesies that a virgin would be with child, and there was a prophecy of Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, and of a virgin, and that was 700 years before Christ ever was born. Today I want everyone to listen to me, and I want you to think about some of these questions and thoughts I'm going to try to stir your and challenge you with. I'm only going to do three things. You'll get out here before 12 o'clock. Number one, the Apostle John said, we have heard him. We have heard him. Have you heard Jesus speak to you? Now, I've never heard Jesus literally speak to me with a voice. I've never said, Pastor Skyver, I want you to do this. Go out and buy Rosie a new dress. I don't hear you. Pastor Skyver, take Dave out to buy him. Have David take you out to buy you a steak dinner. I hear you. No, I've never heard God speak anyway, no voice. He speaks to us through the heart and the Holy Spirit. When you trusted Christ your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwelled you after that. The moment you trusted Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink in the one Spirit. And that one Spirit is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the moment you asked Christ to save your soul, that very moment, the Bible says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Can anyone say amen? And so it's not got nothing to do with being a church member or being baptized. It's all about being Christ. When you have Christ, I'm thankful for the local church. Jesus is the founder of the local church, John. I know he wants church, but the church can't save anybody, never did, never will. It's the founder of the church that gets you to heaven. Jesus was the founder of the local church, and I'm thankful for that. And the Bible says you must have that to get to heaven, and you must have the Holy Spirit. Because in Romans 8, 9, it says, if any have not the Spirit of God, and you get that by asking Christ to save you. Romans 8, 9 says, if any have not the Spirit of God, they're none of His. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not a child of God. Boy, it's getting quiet in here, isn't it? Hello? I've been studying Romans lately. I love Romans. There's so much great teaching in there. But notice, He speaks. Have you heard Jesus speak to you lately? By the way, He speaks to us through His holy word. He speaks to us through His holy word. He speaks to us through His holy word. God's not speaking to me, preacher. Maybe you're not reading His word very much. Hello? By the way, He also speaks through with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will grieve in our heart, or the Holy Spirit will move in our heart. When you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And by the way, the Word of God speaks to you. By the way, the author of the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. How many are with me? And so they go hand in hand. If you don't hear this preached, and you don't read, if you don't hear preaching, you don't read the Word of God, chances are you're not going to hear Jesus speak to you too much. Did you hear what I said to you? If you don't come and hear preaching of God's word, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you don't come to very much preaching and you don't read the word of God, He ain't going to speak to you too much. How many want to hear Jesus speak to you? Then get in the Bible, study it, read it, come to every service, hear the word of God. Then Jesus speaks to us through His holy word and also by His Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned this earlier. If you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at the Gospel of John. We're going to be in the Gospel. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. I'm going to show you some words that Jesus said to Nicodemus. Look at John chapter 3. And I got other scriptures in John, so just turn. Not 1 John, the Gospel of John. Go in the front, in the New Testament there. First John chapter 3. I want you to see something in First John. The Gospel of John chapter 3. Look at verse 1 through 3. How many got the Gospel of John chapter 3? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Yeah, he was a priest. He was real religious. You can be all the religion you want. You can be a priest, but if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. Nicodemus was a priest. He had all kinds of Jewish religion, but I'm going to tell you, he didn't have the Savior. Because he didn't have the Savior, he wasn't going to heaven. Well, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, by the way, he came by night because anyone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, you're in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered, said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, I want to tell you something. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Wow. And this guy's he's an intellect. A lot of times intellects just can't get across some stuff. You know, they can't understand that butter goes with bread sometimes. Hello? How many are still with me? See, I'm thinking about eating. I haven't ate yet. They can't get over how good that mashed potatoes and gravy taste, you know. But no, listen, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you need to know something. You got to be born again. And then he goes on. Look what he says. Nicodemus said in verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born again? How do I get back inside my mom to be born again? First of all, your mom don't want you. Second of all, you can't do it. She bore you once, and that's enough. He said, man, he came to Jesus in honesty. That's how you got to approach Christ. with an open heart, with a true heart. How many are with me yet? He said, I don't understand this born again thing. Man, how am I getting inside back of my mom? How can I be born? And look what Jesus said in the next verse, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Wow. Well, Billy, when you were born, you was in a water sack. And that water sack broke and you came out. All 6 foot of you. And three, probably. But Billy, what this is teaching here, that earthly birth is the water. There's an earthly birth, the water. And then there's a heavenly birth from the Spirit. You got to have both. To get to heaven, you got to have two births. An earthly birth by the water and a heavenly birth by the Spirit. If you're only born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you only die once. That'll blow your mind. Because if you're born twice, you only die an earthly death, but you never die a spiritual death. How many are still with me? Notice what he says here. Look at verse 7. Marvel not. Brother Howes, you say marble. Marble not. You kids playing marble. Don't do it in here either. Marble not. Marvel not. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Hey, Nicodemus, marvel not. Don't be surprised. I can see him, Brother Coolidge. I guarantee his face was bewildered. Why that? I got to be born of water. I got to be born. What? And Nicodemus, Jesus said, don't be so surprised, Nicodemus. Don't marvel at that. You got to be born again. Look at that verse 7 says. No, that's not Baptist. That's Bible. I'm just glad Baptist is Bible. Marvel not that I say unto you, that unto thee, ye must be born again. You want to go to heaven? How many want to go to heaven? Well, Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. And don't marvel at it because you got to get there. So listen, to get closer to Jesus, you must hear him speak to you. We're talking about Jesus speaking to us. Has Jesus spoke to you lately? He does it in that still, small voice inside. Did you do what he... If he spoke to you, Christian, did you do what he told you to? Did you do what he told you? By the way, that's a lot of times Jesus speaks to us. We keep saying no. And finally, he just says, okay, maybe I won't speak to you for a while. Hello? Abraham did wrong, book of Genesis. And I really believe that God didn't speak to him for 13 years after he did wrong with Isaac, Ishmael. And then God finally came down. But God, if you keep saying no to God, disobey God, watch out. He might cut you off for a while. You ought to listen to him when he speaks. Say that. We need to listen to Jesus when he speaks to me. And then we need to obey. Yeah. He spoke to Nicodemus, and guess what? We're not going to go today, but later on you'll see in the Bible, Nicodemus got saved. He was there at the burial of Christ. He came to get his body. Nicodemus got saved. Also, don't turn to it, in Luke 19:5, he spoke to, remember the little guy they sing about him in Super Church, Zacchaeus, up in the little, he said, Zacchaeus, come on down out of that sycamore tree. And boy, Zacchaeus came right down. Man, it's good to listen to Jesus when he talks. He came down, he got saved. And by the way, many times people get saved if they'll just listen to him. And so, number one, if you're a Christian, listen to him. He's got something to tell you. Number two, if you're lost, you need to listen to him because you need to hear his word to get saved. You can't get saved without hearing his word. Number one, have you heard him? Number two, have you seen him? Have you seen Jesus? You have to see Jesus with the spiritual eyes to understand who he really is. It takes spiritual eyes to see Christ. I get a kick out of these wacky dunk pictures on TV, off the wall, yeah, Rice Krispie, whoever they are, you know. I was
I was up in the top prayer tower. Not that I offend you. I'm that sorry. But because you need your truth to get offended over this.
Amen.
I'm just trying to give you truth to set you free. Don't get caught up in all those wackos. And he said, I was in prayer. I saw a 90-foot Jesus. And he said, I'm supposed to do this. And I'm supposed to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now, that guy, he's lying.
That's right.
He didn't see a 90-foot Jesus. And you didn't either. You either ate too many pickles and peanut butter sandwiches before you went to bed. Or you're popping pills. Because you ain't walking on water with Jesus. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'll take you down the river right now and we'll show you you ain't walking. But there's a lot of people, and you say, boy, why do you do that? Because people believe that stuff. Listen, it's got to be in the Word of God for me to believe it. You think the fundamental people, the Bible believers, would have enough sense? Man, that guy really is close to God. That guy don't even know who God is. He's talking crazy. And then a real preacher gets up and tells you the real truth. And you say, man, I hate that guy. He ain't no fun. I like skipping through the clouds with that 90-foot Jesus. I won't tell you his name, but his initials was Oral Roberts. Have you seen him? Let me show you how one man that really did see Jesus like he was supposed to. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. Thomas realized that he literally saw Jesus for who he really was. Remember, Jesus appeared after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. Remember that? And he said, unless I see him, I ain't going to believe. Let's look at John, chapter 20, and look at verse 24. How many got the Gospel of John, verse 24? Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, remember Doubting Tom, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord! They literally did. They lit with their own eyes. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print in the nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails, thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. That guy was from Missouri, buddy. The show me state. And after 8 days, again, and by the way, eight's a number of new beginning type of salvation, eight in the ark. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Boy, I like that when Jesus comes, don't you? The doors being shut, didn't bother. He came in anyways with the doors being shut. Stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. You know why he can do it? Because he is the door. I am the door if any man enter in, he must come in by me. He's the way, he's the truth, he's everything. Look at verse 20. Then said he unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Okay, come on, Tom. Come here, buddy. Put it in there. Put it in there, baby. Put it in there. Look it in there. Now, can you imagine Thomas? Oh, my. It really is real. It really is real. See, Thomas, I don't believe Thomas got saved till he right there. Oh, he was a disciple, but I'm going to tell you something. I was in church before I ever got saved. And I got baptized and was a member of a Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. But about a year later, I finally really got saved. Just because you're a member of church don't make you saved. Because it really matters what's inside you. I've told this joke 100 times, but I love this joke. It really matters what's inside you. He didn't have Christ in him. He was with him. He literally saw him. He heard about him. But he didn't have him inside. And it matters what's inside you. The little boy years ago at the ball game, he was selling hot dogs. Hot dogs, hot dogs. No, yeah, ham sandwiches, ham sandwiches. He got rid of that. He was selling ham sandwiches. Ham sandwiches. Guy said, I'll take one, son. So he passed it down, gave him a dollar. He kept going, ham sandwiches, ham sandwiches. And this guy's eating. Man, he's all cut. Boy, the Indians are bases low. They're all excited. He's eating that sandwich. And boy,
He takes another bite. He opened up that ham sandwich, and all that was inside that ham sandwich was mayonnaise and lettuce. No ham. There's no ham inside the sandwich. Here comes the little boy. Ham sandwiches. Ham sandwiches. He said, "Say, son, there's no ham in this sandwich." He said, "I know. That's just the name of them." See, it really matters. A lot of people call themselves Christians, Brother Mike. A lot of people say they're Christians, but it really matters. You got to have Christ inside. You can go by a name, but it really matters what's inside you. How many get the picture? Don't get taken up with a ham sandwich and not have something inside. Amen? Everybody goes to the ball game now. They'll be looking for you. Don't leave. I'm going to check that sandwich first. Preacher told me about you. And so, notice what he said there. He said, where am I? I'm in John chapter 20. Look what it says there. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." He literally saw Christ who he was. He saw him as the Savior of the world. And he made him his Savior. "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they," and by the way, he's talking about us now, us people in the future. "But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Freddie, I've never seen Jesus physically with my eyes. I will one day when he comes for me, or when I die and go be with the Lord in heaven. I'll either see him in death, or I'll see him at the rapture, but I'm going to see him face to face. Bible says in Scripture we're going to see him face to face. Are you ready to see him face to face, by the way? Look what it says there in that verse again. Jesus said unto him, 29, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed." And keep reading. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written." Here's the reason. Look at verse 31. By the way, this is the main verse of the whole the Gospel of John. All these 21 chapters of John, this is the main verse. This is why John was written. "But these are written," all these things, all these 21 chapters of John. "But these are written that you might believe on that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." That's the whole purpose. When I read the Gospel of John, I read about his birth. I read about his death. I read about all the miracles, how he walked on water, how he opened the waters, how he healed people, from brought people back to the dead, how he made the blind to see, the lame to walk, how he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 foot small fishes. I read all about those things about Christ. And after reading all those things, and I read about how he died and suffered on Calvary's cross, and agonized for 6 hours from 9 to 3 in the afternoon. He suffered and agonized for me. Shed his blood for me. By the way, he shed his blood for you too. How they put him in the tomb. And then three days later, he arose from the grave. Hallelujah. He's risen. They cried out to him when they came to the grave. "He's not here. He's risen." And after Arlene, after studying Miss Merck, after studying all the scriptures, they're there for one reason. So after you and I read them, we can make a meditated, determined decision like this man did. Yes, he really is the Son of God. Even that Roman soldier, as he stood by and seen Christ crucified, he said, "Truly, this is the Son of God."
Amen. Amen.
All those scriptures, when you read it, God's doing it for one purpose. So you can make a decision. Is Christ real? He is real. And you study the scriptures. Pastor Dave brought this scripture today. Don't turn, let me just quote it. It's John 5:39. It says, "Search the scriptures." Search your Bible. Search the scriptures. Go through the Gospel of John. By the way, that's when people get saved. The best book you can have read is the Gospel of John.
To me, that's the greatest book anybody should read, even before they get saved or after they get saved, because that John shows you how to come to Christ. Amen? Search the scriptures. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life. And these scriptures, they are they which testify of me. This Bible will tell you about Jesus. Kids, look up here, kids. If you read this Bible, it'll tell you about Jesus. He said, I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly, John 10:10. That's what Christ wants you to have. He's all right. And he's all right. Notice, how do you see Jesus? Do you see him as a good man? Do you see him as a religious person or prophet? Or do you see him as Savior? By the way, your eyes are still blind until you see him as Savior. Look at one more scripture. I'm almost done. Look at John chapter 9. There was a blind man. John chapter 9. There was a blind man that came to Jesus, and Jesus gave him his sight. 9:1, as Jesus passed by, he saw him. Boy, when Jesus passed by, take advantage of it. Don't let him pass by. Don't let him go to one. He passes by you, you get to him. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. By the way, we're all spiritually blind from birth. Oh, we might have physical eyes to see, but we're blind. Every one of us are blind spiritually from birth. It's a great picture here. Disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or the parents, that he was blind? Jesus said, neither hath man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest. God wants to work in each one of our lives. But I want you to see something. Jesus does heal this man's eye. He makes this blind man to see. Look what the blind man says in verse 11. He answered, because they keep asking, who was this man that did this to you? He answered and said in verse, how many got verse 11? Sir, I got my Bible circled. He said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. How many see that? I circled. He saw Jesus as a good person, a good man. Then they kept at him. In verse 17, they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Oh boy, Jesus is coming up in ranks now. He was just a good person. Now he's a prophet. Getting religion now. Getting some religious in there, man. Then look down at verse 36. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they cast him out, this blind, when they cast him out of the synagogue. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Look at 36. He answered this blind man who received his sight. He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Who is the Savior? Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee. Duh. Hey, you're looking at me? You're hearing me speak? I'm the real one. The man's searching. By the way, you search, you'll find God.
Amen.
Scripture says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you, James 4:8. And look what in verse 38, he said, Lord, now this guy's got real sight, Lizzie. He had physical sight. Now he's got spiritual sight, which is the most important sight of all. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. That man got saved right there. Can anyone say amen? He realized that Jesus was the Lord of lords and King of kings and the Savior of the world. I noted here, the blind man saw Jesus for who he really was in verse 38 for the first time in his life. He saw who Christ really was. I shared this with you. By the way, how do you see Jesus? Do you see him as a good man? Do you see him as a prophet? Or do you see him as Lord and Savior? Years ago, and I've shared this with you, and I'm almost done. Got one last point, and I'm done. I was a member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Got baptized, said a prayer, and I thought I got saved. And then about a year later, Rose and I had just got married. We rented out a duplex over in Sherman. I think it's called Sherman Street there, off of LaGrange. And we were in a duplex. Ironically, my buddy that I went to school with from grade school through high school, Dick Anello, he had married another lady, and she was saved, Alan Anello, and they lived right below us. I didn't know when we rented it, or I wouldn't have rented it, because Dick was an idiot. But no, I'm just kidding. He was a great guy, but he was a knucklehead. Kind of like Eddie White, you know, just real cool. Eddie, you guys are good, great guys, fun to be with. And he was one of my close friends, by the way, Dick Anello was. Matter of fact, he just went to be with the Lord. That preacher from Walbridge called me yesterday and told me he went to be with the Lord. And, we had been there maybe a couple months, just been married. And one night I was reading the Bible. I was already supposed to be saved, you know, member of friendship, prayed in the church, gave out tracts, tithe, witnessed to people. I'll tell you the whole thing, man. And I'll never forget that night in front of that old green couch. Paid $110 for the couch, chairs, and everything. Lamps. Boy, those were the good old days. And I remember reading the Bible. I was in the book of Matthew, and I said, oh, my lands, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I really don't know Christ. I talk about him, and I go to church, but I don't really know him as my Savior. I started to cry, Brother Jack, and I got down to that old green couch, and I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Save me, Lord, from hell. Forgive me of all my sins. And that night, God saved me. Hallelujah. I really got saved. Nothing to do with church. All about Jesus. All Jesus. Amen? And I realized that Jesus was Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that I needed him to get me to heaven. Can I ask you, how do you see Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Do you see him like that one man, a good person? Do you see him like a prophet? Or do you really see him as Savior? If you want to go to heaven, you got to see him as Savior, because that's who he is. Then in closing, this is the last one. In closing, have you reached out and touched Jesus? They did. They personally touched Christ with their hands. I can't touch him by hands, but I can reach out and touch Jesus by faith. Faith is something to hope for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Amen? And have you reached out and touched Jesus personally by faith? And if you have reached out and touched Jesus by faith, personally by faith, then here's the last question. I'm all done. Then have you reached out to touch others and declare Jesus unto them? Go back to where we first started. I'm done. I'm going to read this scripture and we're done. Go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I want you to see something. This is really good. They heard him with their ears. They saw him with their eyes. They touched him with their hands. Look at verse 3. How many got 1 John 1:3? And I'm all done. That which we have seen and heard, John says, declare we unto you. Whew, that's soul winning. Colton, they wanted everyone to know who they saw, who they touched. Not, they didn't keep inside. They declared it. He said, oh, yeah, I saw him. I heard him speak. We actually held him in our arms. We handled the word of life. We had him close to us. We actually touched him. We made contact with him. And now I want you to see something in verse 3. Now we want to declare it. If you've seen him, and you've talked to him, and you've heard him, and you've embraced him, have you declared him? I mean, if you really have been where they... See, they wanted people to know who they met. If we really got saved, I think we'd have that in our heart. We'd want to declare Jesus to people we meet. 1 John 3, he said, that which we have seen, heard, declare unto you. And my last thought here is, when's the last time you declared Jesus to someone? I'm going to tell you right now. It's time, if you haven't, we ought to start declaring them now. Because if you've seen them, and you've heard them, and you've literally touched the word of life, like John and the apostles did. It's about time we start declaring it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we had in the wonderful Word of God, precious Word of God, pure Word of God. Lord, I thank you for this day. And God, thank you for letting me preach. Oh God, what a privilege it is to preach the Word of God. Heal my body up so I can preach more, God. Thank you for Pastor Dave and all that he does to keep this church going forward. Lord, give me strength so we can be together working hand in hand. Lord, please bless us today. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't really know you, Thomas walked with you for 3 years and still didn't know you as his Savior. A lot of people walk through life, oh, they know there's a God, but they never know God till they really meet Christ as their Savior. I wonder, with your heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I really have realized that Christ was the Savior of the world, and I've been saved. I've asked Christ to save me. I know I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I know for a fact I'm saved. I'm positive. Thank you. May put them down. I wonder today, how many would say, Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you, and don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. I don't want to miss out on knowing Christ as my Savior. I don't want to miss out on having all my sins forgiven. A glorious place called heaven to live forever. Mansions in glory. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'd sure like to know. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. I won't come to you, won't embarrass you. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? Let me see it. Let me pray. I won't come to you, won't embarrass you. Preacher, I see a hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand back there. Anyone else? Pastor, I'm not. And by the way, it takes courage to do that. You're embarrassed. People are embarrassed. But by the way, the Christians are saying, amen, get saved. I remember when I used to be lost, I'd say, oh, those people make fun of me. No, they were praying, oh, I wish that kid get saved. We're going to have an invitation right now. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have an invitation. If you want to come in as a Christian and just pray, maybe God's speaking to you about something. Maybe the Lord spoke to you about something, and you need to talk to God about today. Maybe there's something there that God's been speaking to you about. Or maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior, but you'd sure like to know him. So when you died, you wouldn't go to hell. That's why Jesus suffered for us. He saved people from hell. Father, help us. Help us, dear God, to love you and to walk with you. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here lost, some raised their hand, some didn't raise their hand, but Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray you'll give Holy Spirit conviction. Let them know that they need Christ and that if they're not saved, Lord, they're one heartbeat from hell. Help them to come to you as Savior, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.